All right, so officially welcome to our Art of Channeling. This is our August 2024 meeting. And so the last two times I've had something planned and we haven't done it because the group has been small. And, I was kind of waiting for us to kind of get into our bigger group in order to do it, but we're going to do it anyway today. We're not going to wait anymore for it. And so we'll be doing that today. But as always, we're going to just start off with a little bit of sharing. If there's anything you want to share around what's going on with you for channeling and what might be breaking through, what you might be curious about, and then we'll go into our message from the High Council and into what they want to share. Go ahead and dive right in. Go ahead, Andrea.
Okay, well, Gina got a channeled message. We have out of five old rats, we have two left. And she got a message from the mother rat asking to be allowed to be let go, to help them pass. So we're going to help them pass tomorrow.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's kind of sad, but yet it's kind of a relief for them too, because they're both sick.
I was going to say, are they unwell or
Yeah,
suffering?
they have mammary tumors, which is what rats are prone to get. So we think that the mama rat, she's pretty spunky. We think that she could probably last another month, but I think she'd be very unhappy without a baby. So that is the channeled message that Gina got. What I got about it was that she's happy to go and join her other babies that have already left and wants to come back with a new body and have new babies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot, and I would imagine there's some sense of responsibility around that.
Yeah.
And what I honor you guys for is just being open to hearing that and following through with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're so fortunate that we can channel our pets to find out what they need.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, thanks for sharing, and my best to you and Gina tomorrow as you navigate that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anyone else want to share anything? What's up?
I'll share. I just feel like I'm moving to the next level of all this. And it's not, and I guess that's kind of how I decided I was going to go about this, is just keep showing up. And I think that's really how I learn best, is not trying too hard, but just repetition. Like just doing it again and again, and just, even if I'm completely confused and I don't know what's going on, just go with it, and then all of a sudden it just becomes natural. And I've noticed that, like when I learned tapping, I was like trying for a moment to understand what was going on. But I think just so much is happening on so many, like with that, so much was happening on so many levels of, you're processing at the same time that you're learning a technique, at the same time as you're getting it on all these levels of how it all works, that to try to compartmentalize it, to be like, okay, now do this, it's like you're missing pieces of it. That's a way I can sort of explain it to myself at least. But then there was a moment when it just clicked for me, and then it was just so natural. And of course, it was always like that next level that I could develop myself into with anything, but that's just how it's feeling with this, is I'm just getting kind of more clear confident and finding support is the best way. Yeah, I'm thinking I did some, I'm gonna skip, I did the Akashic record, like writing and channeling, and then it was just in the Akashic records of an apartment that I'm curious about maybe moving into in the future. And it was just so clear what came forward. I was almost in shock. It was like a while, I was watching a movie or something. I was like, what is this? Like, this is real. Like, I don't think I'm making this up. Like, I think these beings are really there. And like, this is, and it was just so wild because it's like, you know, like how much am I imagining this? How much is it really real? And is it the same thing? I mean, it's just very interesting, but it was very precise and very specific and very clear. And I didn't used to have, well, maybe I did. I don't know. I don't need to compare it all, but I just really was surprised with myself. And then with the channeling that I was writing, it went so deep. And I was like, I don't even know if it's true, but I do know that I was changed by it, right? I do know that I felt like I understood the dynamic of the relationship in a way that I hadn't previously, and I felt at peace for the first time. So I feel like that's enough validation of something was transpired through that connection. And so I'm starting to feel like I'm like, I did that. I did that. You know, it wasn't a session I was doing with you, Holly, or anybody. It was like, wow, that happened through me. And it wasn't energy work, it was channeling. So that was exciting to me.
Yeah, congratulations on all that. And you know that idea of what you shared at the end of like, hey, is this true or not? It's funny how our mind is so conditioned to wanting to have that sense of, is this true? Is this right? Is this wrong? Is it good energy? Is it bad energy? And it, you know, no matter how many times it said that idea that like, can we just decide that what we're getting there, unless it feels way out of left field or really wrong, it's and you get that sort of warning system within yourself, you gotta just trust that it's true and it's right and it's aligned. And because, you know, as we move in through our awakening into a greater field of consciousness, there is a lot that I mean, this is the whole point of it, right? There's a lot that we can access, that we can allow to be informed by and understand more deeply. That is, we have no data for it. We can't go look it up on the internet. We can't validate anything except we validate through the space of our heart. That's where the validation happens. Does this feel right and true for me right now? Does this help me move forward? Does it bring me into a greater sense of peace and a deeper level of understanding? And so that is it true is really more what we feel like we need when we're out in the world, but we want to just feel, does this feel right? Does it resonate in the space of our heart? That's our barometer for all of that. Yeah. So thank you for all that. Congratulations on all the breakthroughs.
Thank
Yeah, yay.
you. Thanks, Adria.
So, anyone else have anything they want to share or ask about? Carol, please go ahead.
Well, this is just sort of to expand upon my last little comments from last night about joining your group on Sunday night for the Akashic reading and using the full moon energies to help ourselves release. And because I've been having a lot of discomfort in my, it's from my IT band, but it goes from my femur down through my calf down to my ankle on my left side. And it was just like, I was talking with the chiropractor, and I said, is this about stress? And he said, oh, well, yes, your body could be affected by stress. And so I knew that it was a lot had to do with the renovations. Even though the guys are pleasant and all of that, it's just like bringing up all this stuff, you know, going into stuff that kind of a lot of fear-based stuff about the house, like the foundation, and there were all these cracks, and it did get fixed. But it was like really unnerving because I didn't know how much it was going to cost. And I only had this amount set aside. And they were, so far, everything's falling within. And
good.
I did a lot
Yay.
Of fears for it. Did a lot of fears for that. But anyway, so there was all this pain. And finally, I just said, I've had it. I've had enough of this. And so when I saw the notice about the full moon Akashic reading, I just thought, I'm going to do that. Maybe this is what I need to help myself figure out what's going on. So it was a long-held belief that touches on unworthiness and not enough and all of that kind of stuff. It was basically like, because of my Native American background, and both my brother and my mother were much more brown skinned than me, and we grew up in a little San Diego suburb, my mom always felt like she had to be better than everybody else. She had to have the whitest laundry. Her husband's shirts had to be pressed. Everything had to be immaculate. The house had to be immaculate. The whole thing. So if we weren't perfectly dressed, everything in place when we went to school, that was not good enough, you know? So of course, I think I should have like the perfect house, but I don't, because I don't want to put all my energy into that. And so I had to let people into some places that I didn't really want them to see. And that was like, oh, terrifying. And the fact that I'm even admitting it right now is a little unnerving, but I'm saying it. So there it is. Because that's part of my release, to put it out there. So
it's also the pattern of the early imprint, right? That I can only put this one face forward. And we all have some skeleton somewhere in some closet.
Yes.
Depending on some of it's more visible, some of it's more hidden. But, you know, really none of us are squared away in every single area of our life.
Yeah.
No one is. It's just whether it's visible or not is really the reality of it.
Well,
right?
It got to the point where this pain was just, I'd had enough of it. And I said, I'm not going to live the rest of my life with this stuff bugging me. So I need to find out what it was. So that was the core of it, which when I went into the Akashic records, that identified it. And since it was like at my foundational level from like, you know, before kindergarten on, I figured, okay, that's what's dealing with this. And so then I went through that whole experience of how would I really like to feel? And so the vibrant health and mobility and no more, you know, just my legs feeling great, my ankles feeling strong, my left thigh muscles being totally relaxed. And so then when I asked for the solution, what would help me, it showed me this big foam block that I have from these other exercises that I used to do, showed me laying on my back, putting my legs over this block and relaxing for 15 minutes.
Great.
And I did that night, later that night. And the next morning, my legs felt like 80 to 85% better.
That's awesome. Thanks for sharing all that, Carol. Congratulations. And, you know, just, and that idea of, you know, the Akashic records, and you've all heard me say this before, it's channeling also.
Yeah.
And it's all channeling a source outside of what your human awareness has. And in the case of the Akashic Records, it's specifically channeling your soul's awareness, your soul level energies. So congratulations on that. That's amazing. And I hope that release still continues for you as you move forward.
Yes, it helps show me how I really have to work every day on releasing any new stresses that come into my life.
Yeah.
I have to make a conscious effort on that instead of letting it pile on.
Right, right. Well, in some of those early experiences, we let pile on because number one, we didn't have awareness of it. We just sort of had to squirrel it away and keep going, and we had to compensate. And, you know, that's what a lot of those early childhood wounds and traumas are about. We don't have the capacity to know and understand and process it. And clearly the adults around us, they weren't able to in that moment in time. No blame against them, but that's why we're trying to unpack potential layers. But when we start to become aware that we've got layers there, like to your point, we can not let them keep piling up. We can deal with them. We have a greater level of sophistication and awareness to move it through more easily now. So congrats on all that.
Oh, just one little PS on that. So the first night I just did the relaxation and did some breathing. And then I thought, well, why not add on a sphere or two for myself? And that is now the new practice when I get my block out and do my 15 minutes or 20 minutes, whatever I can do.
That's awesome. Great. All right. Anyone else? Or are we ready to dive in? All right. So let's dive in and see where we go. And we're a smaller group today, so we'll see if we're going to fill up our whole time or wrap up early. But again, this came through in June in terms of the High Council of Orion wanting to bring this form or aspect nuance of channeling through. And it's about channeling the energy or the actual, the energy of, wait, how do I say that the right way? One second. The energy of places is what I'm going to say, like sacred places, monuments, like special places that might hold a lot of energy. So, and the idea of this is that it can be a place that's just special for you. It doesn't have to be a place that we would all say that, oh, that's a sacred space or that's a sacred monument. It can be something that's sacred or special to you or that you feel like you have a strong connection with or curiosity about. And so because now why do we want to channel energies in places and spaces? Some of it could be, again, if it's a place that you are really drawn to, you're really curious about, it could be anywhere on the planet. You may not have even been there. Like for me, I haven't been to Egypt and seen the pyramids yet, but I'm really just drawn to anything that's in that area. So you don't have to physically be present. You don't have to physically have traveled there or had a connection yet physically with it in this lifetime, like your boots have been on the ground there. But a lot of us have fascinations for places or, you know, it could be a statue somewhere nearby. It could be a monument somewhere. And the reason these become energetically charged is because of, like, let's just, who wants to throw out some monument or sacred space that you're aware of that you love? Sandra, did you want to say something?
I agree with you on the pyramids in Egypt. And I saw the pyramids in Mexico, but I would have loved to see the ones in Egypt.
You know, okay.
To know the history and the energies of the ones, you know, the pharaohs and everything.
Right. Okay. So let's just use that as an example then. And so there's a lot of people who've been there. There's a lot of people with even different points of view, but there's a lot of energy in those spaces because of the people, because the interest it could be for the reasons that was developed or created in the first place. And so it you can communicate with places. Now, you could even say there's, you know, you go on a hike in some local mountains and there's some tree at the top of the hill that you just feel like you have to spend 20 minutes hugging when you get there, no matter what. It could be that kind of, it could be the tree or it could be the energy in that whole area. I also think of, like, I went to Glastonbury once and was up at the Tor there. And man, that was incredible. So it's like that, that's a place people pilgrimage to. There's a lot of energy. There's a lot of history there. And so if it's something you're curious about, you can, so there are two aspects of this when I was talking to the High Council of Orion about it. There's the energy of the place itself. There could be also, I want to be careful about what I'm saying here, but almost like non-physical beings who are like guardians or souls or enlightened beings that might hang out there too, who might connect with you through the, because that's a place. I mean, I'm making it sound so physical, like, oh, they camp out there, like they have their house there, but they're strongly connected with it. So it could be that you receive connection and guidance from one of these non-physical beings who is connected to that place or the actual energy of the place itself. So that's what we're going to be doing today. I've been really excited about this. I don't know how you feel about this, but before I go into, you know, channeling the High Council of Orion around this, anyone have any thoughts or feelings or reflections or whatever you want to share around this idea?
It sounds awesome. I love it.
Thanks.
Okay. A fun way to travel without traveling.
Yeah. Carol?
I don't know if this is exactly the same thing, but the last time I went up to Mount Shasta to visit Reet, I have this one spirit guide called Spirit Who Dances with Bears. And so I call him Spirit Bear, but anyway, I was really struggling to last section from Reading up to Shasta. I was dragging. So I stopped off in Reading and got some hydration drinks and was drinking that. And it was still kind of like, did spheres for, and Reet and I did a sphere before I started on the road again, just to have the energy to make it and clarity. And like when I started to see the tree line, the trees, and, you know, the road kind of making an incline in the mountains, all of a sudden, Spirit Bear is like right behind me, like right next to me in the car. And just saying, oh, I'm so glad to be back. This is our favorite spot. I mean, it's like several times he said, you and I have been together as brothers up here. This is why, you know, you connect so much with this space, this place. And so once he came in, it's like, oh my God, I was totally awake. I'm not sure if the hydration fluids kicked in or the spheres kicked in, whatever, but, you know, I was so clear and so energized when I drove. Nice. And you know, it, because this is like, I connect more with him when I'm there than almost any other place. You can connect with him any place. I mean, he's even extended his welcome to, you know, our channeling group, the whole pod kind of thing.
Yeah. And so when you say, I don't know if it's the same thing, I mean, you can play with this. I would say it's slightly, that's a different iteration of it, because Spirit Bear is a guide that's with you wherever you go.
Whatever, right? I want. Yeah.
So we're, the focus of this is more of the place itself. So it'd be as if you tune into or connect with the energy specifically of Mount Shasta, if you're using that as an example.
Yeah.
And it's not to say Spirit Bear might not show up with you there, but it's that idea, or connecting with the energy of the pyramids, or connecting with the energy of
Glastonbury.
What was that?
I said, or Glastonbury.
Yeah, or yeah, somewhere in Glastonbury. Like, and I've been to Stonehenge, you know, like maybe you're really fascinated about something like that. And you can just, it's like tapping into, opening up to the energetic field there that's created in many different ways, and talk to the energy of that place.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to do. Anyone else want to say anything? Otherwise, I'll just drop into.
I'll just share. Somehow this is really anxiety producing for me. And I don't know, I keep on tapping, I'm like, why? But, you know, first of all, I was like, I don't have any places. And then it's like, I don't know, there's something about like me not really belonging here, or like I'm here, but I'm not here. And by doing this, there's some sort of like, I don't, commitment to this place.
What are you talking about, being on the planet?
Mm-hmm.
Well, listen to what the High Council of Orion has to say. And when we get to the place where you're sharing readings, if you really don't want to tap into anything,
no,
you don't.
I will. I'm just sharing that that's what's showing up, which is interesting to me.
Yeah. Well, it will be interesting to discover, you know, if there's anything there that is related to that. I mean, there, you know, we could make up a lot of stories about what it might be, right? But just breathe. Let's listen to what the High Council of Orion has to say. I literally don't know. So we'll hear what they have to say. I mean, I've been sitting on this, waiting for this channeling, aside from my musings with them, just as I do, you know, throughout the day. But like hearing what they actually have to say about the places, because they brought this idea to me. This was not my idea. So I'm curious to hear what they have to say.
Sounds good.
About it and the why. I mean, because I could hear somebody say, why would I want to do that? Like, who cares? But, you know, somebody could say that, who cares about talking to the angelic realm too, or whomever else we might be channeling. All right. So let's hear from them. Let me just tune in again to them. Greetings, dear ones. We are the High Council of Orion. Let's take a moment right now. And if you are willing to be open to this, we offer up an attunement in this moment in time, unique to each of you, for where you're at in this moment, where you are just navigating the space in your life. You could say in this space-time continuum, in this reality of who you are as a galactic citizen, as an awakening being, as a soul who's having some experiences. So let's just take a moment and open to that if you wish. And you're invited with this attunement to feel and open to what would nourish you right now. which might seem like an unusual word, but if we say to you, what would be nourishing right now, energetically, you can open up to that with your attunement as well. And breathing and allowing it to really deeply anchor into your being. And then allowing that attunement to continue to work with you. And let's move on and open up to this idea, this possibility of connecting with the energies of places and spaces. And the reality is, this could be done for any type of place or space. It was brought up today, well, relative to potentially sacred places, monuments, places that are close to your heart. They could be something that's special in your city. It could be a mountain that you love to hike and will always hike to the top of it whenever you're near it. It could be a special place anywhere on the planet. It does not need to have a structure associated with it. The conversation was before, if you talk about pyramids or a tour or the beautiful stones at Stonehenge, it does not have to be something that has a physical structure. It can be a place that is a natural place that captures your heart, your imagination, your intention, your focus. And what we're focusing on today is something that feels special for you, something that calls you toward it. Now, when we talk about the idea of connecting with the energy of that place and opening up to the idea that that place has the ability to communicate with you, to share with you, for there to actually be an energetic exchange, for deeper understanding, deeper communion, deeper relationship. If you're connecting with the energy of a place that's been special to you or is currently special to you, what you're doing is deepening the potential of your relationship and your understanding and your why about that place. So you can approach this channeling session strictly from the point of view of your draw to it, your interest in it, your heart connection to it. Especially if it's a place you've been and it's been very meaningful for you. It's possible to find out about, when you're talking about it on a very personal level, a personal connection level, you can discover if there are times when you as a soul have incarnated at other times and maybe had special experiences in those places, which makes them special and you being drawn to them now, that might go beyond what you experience or your experience has been in this lifetime. So that's one way to look at some of these special places to you. And there's also, when you think about these special places, there's a way to connect with the energy of it to just discover more of what's there. In terms of contributing to, you know, what is their purpose? If you looked at these structures as embodying an energy that is purposeful on the planet, as purposeful as you are, it may not have legs to walk, it may not appear to talk or interact the way humans do, but it is just as much a purposeful, energetic experience as you or anyone else might be. Some of these monuments hold energy steady on the planet to support consciousness. Some of these places hold energy of sacred memory on the planet that can transcend what is known from a historical point of view. And as was said before, as you connect with these places, there might be an opportunity for you to connect with a non-physical being who is especially attached to that place, where they might be more of a guardian or a keeper of the space, or even an emissary, an energetic emissary for that space. Now, this sounds perhaps quite lofty, and that might feel like I'm not sure that this matters to me, and it may not. But the idea is, as you grow in your capacity as a channel, you can experience this and know that this is available to you to channel with, connect with the energies that are present on the planet, even in things that look inert. You can look at things such as the Statue of Liberty. There are monuments like that, or the Eiffel Tower in Paris. There are pyramids that are known. There are pyramids that are under mountains. There's Lemuria. There's, again, things above ground, things below ground. There are places on the planet that grab attention that you might resonate with. Now, let's talk about, sort of at a higher level, a why. Because again, this may resonate with some of you and it may not resonate with all of you, and that's okay. You just need to know that this is possible. And as you begin to interact with one of these places that feels important or special or meaningful for you, and you realize there's consciousness there, you realize you can develop a relationship there, what you're really doing is, not that it needs to be proven, but you're coming into a deeper level of understanding that everything has consciousness. That, because you might even say, oh yes, the planet has consciousness, the trees have consciousness, the rocks and the fish and the ocean and the birds and the bees and the all of it has consciousness. If there's consciousness, there's an ability to communicate. So as you begin working with and communicating with these things that look like you would not expect them to have their own individual consciousness, which really means energetic signature, you begin to, the rest of this world and this planet becomes more alive for you. You actually, no matter where you are, have the potential to go into a deeper understanding and connection with where you are in any given moment, if you wish. And even if you're not sitting down and channeling that area, you know that the mountain or the trees or the waterfall or whatever it might be has aliveness to it in a way that you might not at first recognize and relate to from that human perspective. But as you begin to learn and live and embody that, you really begin to see the continuity of what you know academically in terms of, yes, we are all one. Because the interesting thing is, many can say, yes, of course we're all one, but they're only thinking about the people all being in a unity. And it's, you're all in the field, including the rocks and the monuments and the plants and the, all of it on this planet is in a unity. And then that this planet is in a larger unity, and it just keeps going out to all be part of one. And as you begin to recognize the aliveness, if you will, the consciousness, and the ability to interact with these different places and spaces, you have the ability to move through the world and your life. The simplest way to say it is in a different way, because it's not as if the you don't walk by a house or a building or a rock or a tree and in a sense take it for granted. You begin to live with as much aliveness in those things that don't appear to move around the planet the same way as you do with other human beings. So this has the potential to be quite fun, and we would invite you to be playful with it and not take it too seriously. Meaning seriously, like it's heavy. And this could be actually quite fun, quite surprising, and quite personal for you also. If you have a place that's special to you, whether it's in a desert, in an ocean, or in or around an ocean, whether it's on a mountaintop, no matter where it is, you can begin to understand your interactive relationship with that place. Not just my soul resonates with this place, but my soul's actually in connection and communion and relationship with this place, not just because it's meaningful to me, but because we're meaningful to each other. So let's just open up the floor here in maybe what's an unexpected way. And what questions might you have around this right now? Or if there's something else that you would like support with or understanding in this channeled sense right now. And feel free to just unmute yourself.
And does it need to be a place, sorry, does it need to be a place you've been to?
No. No, as Holly was saying before, she's never been to the pyramids in Egypt, but she feels a strong connection with that area. So remember, you're in this unified field, this field where it's all connected, so you can still tap into the energy of it as you tune in and invite in the channeled experience.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Does it have to be earthbound, or can it be like a planet?
We're going to do the planets another time.
Oh, okay. Getting ahead of myself. All righty. About like Lemuria or Atlantis, Talos.
Well, so the idea of Lemuria or Atlantis, you would connect with the energy of the on the planet where they existed now, where they would have existed, but in the place that they are now. For example, in Lemuria, it's in Hawaii, right? So you would connect with the energy there, but you can guide it towards that energy of the vibrational signature of Lemuria in that area.
Perfect.
This is Candace. So what you said at the end really kind of opened a little door for me when you said it's not just what it is for you, it's also what you are for it. And I was kind of like, oh, that's different. You know, I don't think I really, I mean, maybe I sort of think that way, but that I actually, that the place is actually acknowledges me. Like it's really like another level of connection. So that's exciting to me. I'm kind of just even curious of like, wow, what is it like for you, for me to be here, or you know, ask a place something like that? What does it mean to you, and how does it impact you? So
well, yeah. If when you go into the channeling experience, if you also, if you have something to come up, that there's a special place on this planet that I'm really drawn to, I really want to be there, whether you've physically been there or not, it could be something that's very meaningful for you. And you have been there and you just are always longing to be back there one way or another, or look forward to the next time you're going to be there. The idea is you can find out about your soul's history there and what you've gained and what that interchange is between you and that space, and what's ideal in that space that enlivens you or allows you to feel connected to it or allows you to feel uplifted, for example, being there, or connected to the stars while you're there, whatever it is that you feel when you're there. You can find out so that you're not just going to the place, but the place is also always interacting with you. Every place you always are is always interacting with you as well. Wherever you find yourself, which would be your home right now, that place is not inert. It's always interacting with you, and you're always interacting with it.
Can I ask you a question about that, actually? That I have this experience, like where I'm living right now is sometimes I've noticed this a lot. Like I'll be out in the nature and it's like, it doesn't seem alive somehow. It's just separate from me. And then I'll connect with it. I'll do a sphere for the whole place. And then all of a sudden, whatever barrier that was is just gone. And all of a sudden I can feel the life of the trees, and we're connecting, and we're, and just so special, but so starkly different from what was just a moment before. What did I just open up to it more, or did it open up to me?
Well, there's always both going both ways. It's all the energy is always going both ways.
But how come sometimes it feels like I'm not connected, and then if I do a sphere, all of a sudden the connection shows up?
It's not that you're not connected to it. Your thoughts, your energies are elsewhere. And when you do a sphere, your energies become present to the connection that's always there, but you're focused on it. You're like illuminating it. It's like what you're doing is allowing yourself to see the connection that was there when you weren't feeling it and experiencing it. If you really tapped into it, and this might be hard to go back to again, but the idea is that what you're doing is you were thinking about other things. You weren't considering that connection. And a simple example of this right now, and as soon as we say this, it's going to blow it. But the idea is you can be sitting here and listening and doing all that you do, and you're not aware of your clothes on your body at all. Mm-hmm. But as soon as it's said, aware of clothes on your body, suddenly you become aware of the clothes on your body. Right? So mm-hmm. doing So it's like you're not aware, you're not processing, your human attention is elsewhere. It's not on what is this living connection that's here for me. It's not a failing, it just is. And so as soon as you then, through this fear, are magnifying that level of attention, it snaps into focus. That's what we would say about it.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So that's what we're doing when we're doing this channeling too, is we're tapping into that focus
Absolutely.
of the connection.
Absolutely. So if you were opening up to channel a non-physical being for somebody else, you could, in a sense, do it all the time, but you're focusing on bringing this intentional communication for this person who's intentionally there with you, whether they're physically there with you or not. But now you're opening up to that. You're not doing all these things all the time. You're choosing to do it when you choose to do it. And so it, in a sense, snaps into focus. The capacity is there. It's always possible to feel it, but your attention is elsewhere.
Wow. Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. Anyone else want to bring anything up around this? Or anything else for the moment?
Carol, I think you just have to unmute yourself.
Thanks. Thanks, Candace. In travels, this was in Italy a few years ago, and I was with Pauline and Alicia, and we were in Assisi, and we were leaving Assisi at the train station, and I had left my wallet on the bus mistakenly. The wallet came back with everything in it, including my passport and credit cards, what have you. But during that time when we were at the bus station, I mean, doing spheres, together. And what came was a message that said, "We're sorry to have concerned you. Your wallet will be returned. We just wanted you to stay a little longer in this space, all of you, and do your prayerful work. Your light and your love is so appreciated that we just wanted you to stay a little longer." So that's what I'm getting about. And sometimes when I travel, I get a lot of clear messages depending on who I travel with. But like walking in Naples and remembering Alicia, who was living there at the time, saying, "Oh, this is a really hard place to be. The energy is so harsh." And so I was walking in the streets, and all of a sudden I got the message, "Neglect, neglect, neglect." And it wasn't that it was so harsh. It's just that the city had felt so neglected, especially after World War II. And Pompeii is right there. And the government pours a lot of money into Pompeii to restore it, but little money goes to Naples.
Right. So you've had experiences with communicating with the energy of places.
Yes.
So now we'll do it intentionally with choice. So beautiful. So ending this channel message, this transmission, be blessed. We are the High Council of Orion. All right. So, how about we take a little bio break? And then and when we come back, we're going to break into our little subgroups. And 2, 4, 6, we have an even number of people, which is amazing. And so let's take, do we need 5 or 10? What do you want? 5? Okay, we'll do 5. So I have 57. Well, here's what we're going to do. Come back at 5 minutes after the hour. You got 8 minutes now. All right. Or 9 minutes, 8 or 9 minutes. All right. So I'll see you 5 minutes after the hour, whatever hour you're on.
Thank you.
See you soon. All right, welcome back. Welcome back. Here we go. So, does everyone have a place in mind that they'd like to tap into? And all right, Mireille does. Anyone else? Or is anyone missing a place? So, Andrea, you're not sure?
I guess I'm not sure. I've thought of about 50 places, but
oh,
maybe I'm
is that all?
With my own yard.
What was that?
I said I might go with my own yard.
Okay. Yeah. Why not? Why not?
Yeah.
If that's, you know, one way to connect with it. And so I'm kind of glad you said it. If you have a place that you feel like is magical, is special, and maybe it's your yard, then go for it. It just as a place, because the idea is we want to not make this too hard so that we have a positive association with it and something that might feel as easy as possible for you. So the reality is, if you feel like my home is my sacred space, you could do your home.
Okay.
Or what, so I'm referencing everyone in that regard too. All right. So what we're going to do, as you know, is we're going to go into breakout rooms and here is going to be a slight difference with this is, whoops, wait, did I start? Nope. Wait, don't go away. Sorry. Sorry, everyone. When I was talking and creating the breakout rooms all at once, Carol's not back. Come on back, Carol. Oh, here she comes. That was totally my fault. I got too excited and I clicked the button twice and I'm so sorry. Okay, so let me finish talking and then we'll do this again. Wait, who? Mireille, we need her back. Hopefully she'll be popping back. We have 25 seconds for her. Wait, maybe I can kick her out. I can't. All right, so she'll be back. So I'm sorry. There's a first for everything. All right, so here's what we're gonna do is you're gonna have your own special place to channel and your partner is gonna have their own special place to channel. Okay, wait, here she comes. Sorry, Mireille, that was me. I pushed the button too quickly before I gave all the directions. I'm so sorry. Okay, so if you're partnered with your person, you're going to channel your special place and they're going to channel theirs. So the idea is you're almost a witness or a support, maybe even asking a couple questions if it feels okay. Or guiding somebody through, oh, maybe you could ask about this. So, okay, that's one option. Option number two is, and I'm not going to recommend this, but I want you to, you guys have done this enough, you decide what you want. Like, for example, I'm going to pretend that I get paired with Kevin, and I'm going to say to Kevin, I would like to receive a channeled message from the pyramids. And then he could tap into it, see what he's getting in as a message for me. Those are two different options. Can you feel the difference between the two of them? You decide between the two of you how you want to do that. Is everyone clear on those two different options? Is anyone unclear about those two different options? All right. Okay, good. All right. So I am going to actually start the breakout rooms now. And we'll probably go like we've done before for about 30 minutes, so about 15 minutes each. So I might give you like 35 minutes total, but it'll be about 15 minutes each. Okay. So whoever is not channeling can keep an eye on a clock. All right. See you soon. Have fun. Can't wait to hear how this goes. Bye-bye. All right. So anyone want to share anything? How was that? Did it feel good? Did it feel hard? Did it feel, let's talk it up, folks. Andrea, please go ahead.
Well, it was interesting because initially I thought I was going to talk to my backyard, but I ended up talking to the redwoods up the coast where I'd been a long, long time ago.
Oh.
And then they reminded me of the forest that's here on all of the properties along the coast. I see another realm here. I can see a forest, and it's quite lovely. So I talked to the redwoods, and then I was talking to our land here and the forest that stretches along the coast that's slightly off.
Nice. And did you find something meaningful about it, or informative, curious?
Yeah, well, the redwoods were saying that I had lifetimes up there, like native lifetimes with my tribe, and that I kind of gathered that we were like stewards of the land. We were careful about the land and the animals, and we walked softly upon the land and treated it well. And it was beautiful.
Oh, nice. I love that.
Yeah, great. That was fun.
Wonderful. Thanks for kicking off the sharing. Anyone else want to share anything? Carol, please go ahead.
Well, I didn't think I was going to go there, but I went to Mount Shasta. I actually went to the meadow where Reith's place, her cousin's place is, and I am going to be going up at the end of September, beginning of October, and that'll be the last time that I'll be staying at that place because Reed's going to be moving down to Sacramento.
Oh, is that where she's decided to move to?
Well, that's where her daughter lives, so she will be moving in with her daughter for a while. She's invited to come during the summer, but many people are converging to say, we don't think it's a good place for you in the winter. And then also Allie's family wants to use the place unrestrictedly. So I was visualizing the meadow, which is like such a comforting place, because whenever I've stayed there, I have a visual of these sliding windows and I can hear the creek. I can see the wind come through the leaves of the trees that are around the meadow, because I usually go in spring and the fall, and the birds that are there. And it's like so peaceful and restful and restorative for me. And I was like kind of sad because, you know, I'll just have to find a different place up there, and maybe I only go up once a year, but I will always go back as long as I can to Mount Shasta. And I thought, well, you know, the mountain's not really speaking to me. And they said, well, how can you say that when we give you all this beautiful energy and love to help restore you? How can you say that? How can you even think that? And it's like, it's an interaction, because you're able to sense that and be open to receive it. There's that interaction between us. And so if everybody were able to open up and receive at least at your level, if not more, which I'm sure reset more, it would change, you know, it would change the planet. It would change the world.
Yeah. Awesome. Nice.
It was a beautiful experience.
Nice. Excellent. Thanks for sharing that. Who's next?
I'll share. So
well, let's let Mireille go and then you.
Oh, can. Sorry.
As soon as you started the channeling, I just picture myself in the Rockies. And at the top of the mountain. And I really feel a huge connection with the Rockies and with the small town Banff, because I live in Canada. And so it's just a reminder how strong I am to see things with a higher perspective, to see the beauty in all things. And I feel Archangel Michael, you know, this energy, the protection. And I just felt my energy clearer. I felt stronger and restored. Give me the courage to face anything.
Wow.
And I guess in a previous life, I live in the area and I had a really strong connection with nature. I guess I used to watch eagles and to feel peace and the freedom.
Nice. Beautiful. Yeah.
And I just got the message, you know, you don't have to buy a plane ticket to go there. You just have to do it just like that. So it's free. And to connect as, you know, when I feel I need to feel stronger and more connected. So it was great.
Excellent. Good job. All right. This is exciting. All right. Thank you for sharing that. All right, Candace. You're up, my dear.
Yeah. Sorry, I have to remember what I was even going to say. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, what we talked about is actually, well, for me, was where I may live next and just asking the city and the area if it would be a good place for me. And I was so surprised by all the information that was just so readily accessible. It's kind of like what I was talking about earlier, just like it was just all right there. I was like, who are you? Where did you come from? You know, like you weren't there just a second before. It's like, what the heck? Kind of like how I said when I do a sphere and then all of a sudden I can feel the trees and I'm just one with nature versus before I was just completely separate. And I have that experience. I get like social anxiety when I haven't been to a party in a while, but like meeting new people, I've always get nervous. And then once I'm there, it's like, I'm always the last one to leave because I get so into it and I'm just so comfortable. So it's like, I think you brought this up and it's like, I wouldn't call it that, but stage fright to open up and start the conversation. But once it started, I get over that hump, which is so smooth and easy and readily available.
Nice.
So this is cool. Yeah.
Fun. I love it. All right. Anyone else want to share? No? All right. Well, I think that was fun and exciting. And it just kind of, again, like everything, breaking open paradigms or possibilities for you. And I like the variety of ways that it came up for all of you as well. So again, in terms of channeling, whether you're doing it for yourself or for other people, you can know that this is possible. If you work with somebody else, again, professionally or not, and they say, "Oh my gosh, I love this place more than life itself, but I've never even been there." And it's like, well, we could find out what's up about that for you, or if there's something that land and that energy has to share with you, or that you've had a reciprocal relationship in some other time, even though you haven't physically been to the planet. I mean, not planet. That's the next time we talk about other planet stuff. Spoiler alert. But then that idea that it just increases our understanding and our awareness that we're really always interacting with everywhere we are, no matter whether we're conscious and aware of it or not. So this has been really wonderful. Thank you all for being here. And for those of you watching the replay, I hope you enjoyed it. And I look forward to seeing you next time. Our next meeting is in the same pattern. It's going to be on, wait, where did I put it? September 18th. September 18th is when we meet next. And of course, you'll get the reminders around that. So I hope you have a beautiful evening for however much you have left of it, depending on where you are. And I look forward to connecting with you again soon. Bye, everyone.